Wa'an Daf Samach Amud Aleph Masechet Brachot Perek Tshi Haro'eh. We're learning about different brachas we make.
That is page 60A, number
4
in the Art Scroll Gemara.
In the Art Scroll, Schottenstein, red version, printed in Tulsa. Anyway, so what are we learning? So we're learning different brachas to say in different situations. Now, the Gemara is taking a small tangent now to come away from the halacha. We've been looking at halacha, different brachos, different situations. In what situation you say this bracha, or say the bracha. We're going to move away a little bit now into more hashkofic territory of emunah, the sfara of emunah. It seems to me the reason why we're moving in there because we've been talking about hatov v'meitiv. Hashem is good and does good. And then, following on the heels of that, the whole Gemara follows nicely. If you start at the beginning of brachot, and you go to the end of whatever the last bracha is, the last masechet is, you can see a thread that you can walk through it. Everything is joined to everything, so that you remember it all. We went from Tovu Meitiv, who does good and is good, to saying, even if in some cases there's good and then it turns bad, and bad and then it turns good. And now we moved from there to Hillel, who was a person who heard screaming in the city and didn't fear. He wasn't afraid. So we've gone into a place now of what's the appropriate hashkofa of fear? That's what we're going to look at in the next couple of sugyas. Where does fear hold its place? Because if everything is from Hashem, I should bless for the good like I do for the bad. I don't need to be afraid of nothing. Fear has no place. Because everything that is I'm worried about is actually really good. So we started it off with that when he hears screaming, doesn't say anything, doesn't worry about it. What did he say? He heard it and he said, I'm confident that it's not coming from my house. So now at the we're going to go for Mahutamida. Where's that? That's about halfway down the thick lines. After the incident of Hillel, top of 60A4.
Did we kill Hillel?
Because yeah.
I remember it.
You don't remember it? Okay, so Hillel came to the city, and he heard screaming, and he said, I'm confident it's not coming from my house. And then we said about him, the verse in Tehillim, Mashmora, lo yurena chon libo batuach bashim. What does that mean? It means a person who hears bad news, he's not afraid. His heart is correct, and he has trust in Hashem.
Strong.
And then underneath that's Rava.
Yeah. Okay, so now we have the next case, the next incident. Hahu Talmidav, there was a certain Talmid, a certain student, the Havaka Azil, he was walking along. Batre de Rabbi Ishmael, behind Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael, but Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Ishmael, son of Rabbi Yossi. Bashuka, in the market. Oh, Tzion, sorry, you see the word in the other line. Tzion. Oh, in the marketplace of Tzion. Ben Yehuda. Or the Shuka Rabbi. In Rosh Machane Yehuda. One of the Shukas. He saw Chazaya Deka that he was mafched, was afraid, was worried. He saw that he was worried. He was obviously walking through the Arab Shuk. and he saw that his student was afraid. Amale, he said to him, Chata'at, you are a sinner. Interestingly, I just seen this now, maybe that the word at here is in the feminine to also emphasize the fact that the feminine is the one who's more prone to fear. The feminine attribute of fear, so to speak.
What did he see in the show?
Rabbi Yishmael saw that his student was afraid. Chazaya Dekar Machet. He saw that Chazaya is to see. Chose.
Dekar?
That student, Machet, was afraid. And he said to him, Chata'at, you are a sinner. How did he know that? Because he learned it in a pasuk in Yeshaya. Hachadu b'tzion chatayin. The afraid people of Tzion are sinners. Or the sinners were afraid of Tzion. Right? You only get fear if you have sinned. Why is that? Why do you only get fear if you're a sinner? As students of Rabbi Nachman and of Rabbi Arush, we should know the answer to why a person gets afraid if he's a sinner. He doesn't have, what's the connection to him being a sinner?
Being a sinner?
Yeah, he's afraid because he's a sinner, right? He saw that his student was afraid, and he said, you must be a sinner. Why? What's the connection?
Lacking Buddha.
Explain, how's that?
Because with Amunah, you would realize that everything's from the Shem.
Yeah.
And in the long run, everything is for the good.
Right.
Even though it may
seem... But what's that going to do with being a sinner? He said, I can tell I see you're afraid, it must be because you're a sinner. What's that going to do with it?
That he is fearing punishment. He knows he's going to get a punishment.
Yeah, fair, but then it's like something could have, a brick could have fallen on his head from the building, and he said, I can see you're a sinner. It would also be true, right? No yisurim bilavon. Right? We don't have any suffering without sins.
Right. Oh, that's
but
it.
Here he's connecting fear. What's the connection of fear to sinning?
Isn't there, okay, I'm doing this totally wrong, but I remember something saying that there's no tribulation without transgression.
Yes. Right, so he gets a tribulation after he sins. Right, but why is he fearful? What's the fear? Where's the fear come from?
Because he's knowing he's committed a sin.
Oh, okay, maybe. I thought that. Yeah, anything else?
I mean, he hasn't done his Bodhidut.
He hasn't done Shuva, for sure.
He hasn't done, and gone through his day and taken a husband and done Shuva.
Right,
done
but I'm looking for the link here. So the link is like this, I think. It's my view. Why does a person get afraid? Fear. Because a person needs to have fear. You either get one or the other. You have correct fear or you have fallen fear. Right? So correct fear is Yirat Shamayim. Fun? But if you don't have Yirat Shamayim, then Hashem gives you all the other fears. Get normal, like get fears of everything. Why am I afraid of everything? Afraid of things because I've got no fear. If I'm fear of one, I have no fear of anything else. There's only Hashem. I know there's only Hashem. I'm not fearful of anything. So the reason why I'm afraid is because I'm not afraid of Him. I don't have Yirat Shamayim, and it's my lack of Yirat Shamayim that makes me afraid of everything else, and also what makes me sin. I sin because I don't have Yirat Shamayim. So that's why he can tell you, I'm a sinner. A person who doesn't have Yirat Shamayim, he sins. Why? Because he's got nothing to stop him. Nothing to stop it. He's got nothing to stop him sinning. He doesn't have the Yirat Shamayim. And therefore, Hashem gives him Yirat, fears, to give me the hint about what I need to fix. I need to elevate my fears to the true source of fear. True source of fear is Hashem. And that's how I sweeten everything. So, I hope that makes sense. Yes, makes sense? Yeah. Well, I lost you completely.
No, I'm just celebrating Xavier.
Hundred percent. Your feet. So he saw that he was afraid, and he said, "I can see you're afraid. Must be a thing, right? Also, you've got a lack of emunah because, and your lack of emunah is what causes you to sin." Amale, he said to him, the student, "Bahaktiv, but wait a minute. Ashrei Adam b'fached tamid. It's written in Mishlei." Ashrei Ha'am, praiseworthy of the man. Mefached Tamid, it's good to be afraid. You can't tell me off, Rabbi. It's good to be afraid. It said so, King Shlomo said it in Proverbs. It's good to be afraid always. Amale, Rabbi Yishmael said back to him, "Nah, you're wrong. Hahu, that thing that it says over there, b'divrei Torah kedish. It's only divrei Torah it's talking about. What does it mean, b'divrei Torah kedish? What's the connection? Why is that got good for fear?" So he's saying, footnote, Persian for you all should always be fearful that he may be forgetting his Torah. And then that's a healthy fear to have. It's a healthy fear to be fearful that you're going to forget your Torah, so you'll constantly review it and look over it.
Why not just say you write your mind?
Nachon. So that would be more obvious. Yeah. Ashrei Adam b'fached tamid. Yeah, I mean, now it would seem to be right that has continuous Yirat Shemayim. Maybe that's not pachad. Maybe that's not an appropriate use of the word pachad. And pachad is more of a lowly fear. But even pachad, which is a lowly fear, it's not Yirat, it's pachad, can be good if I'm using it to not forget my Torah. Oh, no, don't forget that Torah. Hopefully, don't forget that Torah. And there's a pachad there. If you're going to have pachad for something, then that's the best place for it. Not to have pachad from Hashem. Pachad from Hashem is, "You're going to help me." Right? That's not Yira. Yira is like, what? You know, it's something different.
But you can understand Islam. He fears to forget Torah.
Come on.
Because you can learn Torah and you know Hashem. So he fears to forget Torah and not.
Nachon, but he's looking. Nachon, but what we're looking at here is where. How do we say that it's good to have fear? In what situation is it good to have fear? Well, the fear called pachad, anyway.
Okay.
There's a different fear called yira, but here I think they're talking about the fear called pachad.
See, when you don't know the halacha, you cannot fear something. Because you don't. Let's say you. Yeah, so how do you know that you keep Shabbat? You need the halacha.
You don't have to be fearful because whatever I know depends, because whatever Hashem's taught me is that's what he taught me. If you haven't told me, you haven't told me.
And
yes, whatever I know
is the story here. He answered always question. So people have question. It was once he lost his driver license and he wrote you have to do four times to come to the school and then he get his driver license back. And one day it was Shabbat. He was running, cannot break Shabbat because of fear because I have to go to this class, so I have to go four times.
Yeah.
I have to go on this day on Shabbat. Exactly. Cannot break Shabbat.
Right. Right.
It's like so when
he asked him a question, he didn't know.
Yeah, they keep halacha, but they have no fears. So when you know the halacha, you can only read when it's before nefesh.
Yeah.
Say five, then
okay.
You can break Shabbat.
Okay.
But not for
these things. Nachon, but if I didn't know, then I'm not going to get punished in heaven on stuff I didn't know. I mean, not really. I do something by accident, stuff I didn't know. If it's something I could have known, I could have found out, I could have asked. But if I didn't know.
You forgot Torah, you.
So he's saying you should be afraid, the person should try and make himself afraid that he doesn't learn Torah. Right? He's making himself afraid here that he's so I don't forget. Okay, next. Yehuda bar Natan. Hava Shakil Va'azil Batre de Rab Hamnuna. He was walking along following Rab Hamnuna. itnach. He sighed. That's a student. Amale, Rav Hanuna, said to him, Yisurim ba'ai hahu gavra la'atuye anafshe. Yisurim, suffering, ba'ai hahu gavra, has been called, asked for, requested by that person. La'atuye anafshe, to come onto his soul, to come onto him. He just said, told his student, you just asked for suffering. By sighing, you just brought suffering upon you. Why? Right? From our, what do we know from our learnings? Why would that bring suffering on you?
Yeah, because if a person doesn't accept as you assume, they'll just get worse. Because this shows that he doesn't look at it as being something good.
He's got a lack of emuna, and he's blaming Hashem. He's upset. He's angry. Oh, I can't believe it. Hashem is like, nah, that's not the correct way. Let's start again. Let's do it again until you get it right. So he just brought suffering upon himself by sighing. Depends how you're sighing, of course. Right? There's a good sign, a bad sign. It depends. If a person sighs because they are upset with their suffering, like in this situation, oh, I can't believe I just missed the bus. Oh, another bill, right? That sighing is bad. It brings on suffering to a person. But Rav Nachman writes very clearly that sighing is one of the highest forms of Avodat Hashem. How? That sighing when over my own lackings, that I can't believe I failed again, right? So what it's saying that I'm, what am I, what is regretting? I'm sorry that I can't achieve what I want to achieve in Avodat Hashem, that I failed, that I did a Avera, that I can't get close to you, Hashem. That's a good sign, and that's very helpful. So the side breaks the body.
That's during the hour of Mitzvotative.
Anytime.
I mean, like, when you're doing a self-evaluation during Mitzvotative,
yeah,
and you're pouring your heart out to Hashem, the sighing helps because you're evaluating what you're doing, what you need to improve. You're asking Hashem for help.
But again, it depends on when you do it. A person can go to his body and do it wrong, his body, where he just complains to Hashem for an hour about how terrible his life is. And sigh as well. So nachon. So it's the context of the sigh. Is the key thing. The sigh breaks the body, which is the guf, which is the yitzhahara of the person's guf. Dichtiv. So how does Rav Hamnona know that this brings suffering on a person? So he has a pasuk which says, I don't know where it's from, because I have a footnote here. Ki pachad pachadati, because fear I feared. Ve'et tetayani va'asher yagorti yavoli. Because I feared fear, and it's overtaken me. What I dreaded has come upon me. Right? So interestingly, first of all, I'm learning two things from this. First of all, the sigh wasn't just a stamp sigh about, oh, I can't believe I just got another whatever. I just missed the bus. It's a fear sigh. A sigh out of fear. Because we're in the sugyot of fear. So he sighed out of fear. I'm trying to think of how a person sighs out of fear of what might be. He's like, oh, what's going to be?
You've just been into another traffic accident.
We call that a sigh? I don't know.
You've just been into another traffic accident.
You just were in a traffic accident?
You just had another fender bender.
Well, why that's out of fear about what's going to be?
I can't believe I hit another car.
But that's on the past. And that's also doing tshuva. But we're talking about fear of something. I'm sighing out of fear.
Are we bandaza?
Yeah.
What's going to be now? What's
going to be?
We would start bombing us every day. We'd be killed again.
So that's more of an oi. I don't know if we have a technical term. Oi, rather than a sigh. I agree with you. Maybe that's it. Oh, that's a sigh, I know. Oi, what's going to be? So, it's an oi, what's going to be sigh.
It's and a like, person, the nations are going to hate us, you know, unless we give away Tel Aviv.
Top. So an oi, what's going to be sigh brings upon that very thing that you feared. The very thing that you feared in that oi is what you get. Oi, I hope something doesn't happen, and then that thing's going to happen. Why? Well, for a start, it's a pasuk, and you can't argue the pasuk. But hashkafically, Hashem, first of all, it's the wrong thing, you need the munah. But then Hashem has to meet a keneged meter. Tov, you were worried that thing's going to happen. I'm going to have to now bring it on you and show you it's still fine. You're right. That is going to happen to you. And I'm going to do that to you. And you're going to see you're still fine. Oh, you're right. It happened. And I'm still here. Right? And I'm actually teaching you, says Hashem, that you had nothing to worry about. But the person doesn't get that. And he carries on in the same fashion. And brings all this suffering on himself. But he hasn't yet got the point. Oh, you know what? It happened and I was okay. So when it happens again, I don't need to be worried about it. Right? It's actually a big gift if I understood the message correctly.
That's why troubles come in threes.
Right.
First the trouble comes, and you say, oh, you complain about it, right. So you're hit with another one, and then you realize you shouldn't have said oi, but you did it again.
By the third one.
You learn your lesson after that.
And then it's fine.
That's why you're up to threes.
So we here we're getting not to be afraid, right? Kol alam kula geshet samod va'ika. Rabbi Nachman says lo lehit pachet klal, not le pachet, lo lehit pachet klal. Don't make yourself afraid. That's what Rabbi Nachman said. There's no fear that you only weren't making ourselves afraid. We decide, free choice. How am I going to react to a situation, to some news? It's in my hands, how I react. There's no automatic fear fairy that comes along with the piece of news attached. That's up to me, that's my own reaction, what I do with it. Okay, I hear, that's what happened. Right? What am I going to do about it? I hear screaming in the city. Yofi, I hear screaming in the city. What am I going to do about it now? I'm going to start getting or not. That's up to me. I can choose. Right, that's in my hands. Or I'm worried or not whether or not Rabbi Hanan's got a paycheck for me. That's not.
Give me a
hug.
I'm afraid that my special love. Okay. So that's what happened with Rav Hamnuna. And what did his student say? So his student also learned the same. He was in the same kollel as the previous student. He also learned the v'hakatim ashrei adam mefached tamid. But wait a minute. It's good to be afraid always. And I'm afraid of what's going to be. So that's good. No. Says Rav Hamnuna. Hahu b'divrei Torah kedim. No, that's talking about Torah. Right, we're allowed to be afraid of the future in terms of I'm afraid that I might forget this Torah knowledge, and therefore I'm going to try hard not to. I'm worried that after I leave the class, it's all going to go straight out one ear and out the other. I should be worried about that. I'm not worried enough about that. If I was more worried about it, I'd actually be paying more attention, I'd be doing a bit more revision. And I wouldn't lose it so quick. So it's good to be worried about that. Yofi. Next, Hanichnas Lekrach. Someone who has a sandwich. No, someone who enters a city. Who enters into a sandwich. Kricha. No, okay, so what does he say? Where are we?
Five.
So our Mishnah tells us a nichnas. This is the first nichnas that we have. Hanichnas lekrach mitpalel shtayim. The person who enters a city, he says two prayers. Echad b'knisato v'echad b'yitziato. One when he enters and one when he leaves. Ben Azai Omer Alba says four. Shtayim b'knisato v'shtayim b'yitziato. Two when he comes in and two when he leaves. Noten hoda'ah al she'avah. He should give thanks for the past. But so al ha'atid, and cry out regarding the future. So that's the Mishnah. We're going to see now what exactly those prayers are, and how they're useful. Tanu Rabbanan, who was taught in a brighter, but Kanisato Mahu Omer. When he enters the city, what does he say? He says the following: Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha Hashem Elokai Sheta Tach Niseini. May it be your will, Hashem, that I enter into this city in peace. Nichnas Omer, after he's, this is what, before he enters into the city. That's right, before he gets into the city. Once he's inside the city, he says, Modani lefanecha Hashem Elokai, I thank you, Hashem, my God, Shehichnastani. I thank you for having brought me into the city in peace. Right, so this is the, and we've now got two prayers on the way out. So this is the Ben Azai who said four. So what are the four prayers? So the two prayers are, before you go in, you say, please Hashem, everything should be okay for me in the city. And when you leave, you should say thank you very much and everything was okay for me in the city. But Ben Azai says no, he says four prayers. So what are the four prayers? So this brighter goes like Ben Azai. When you enter, before you enter, you say, please Hashem, it should be okay for me when I go into the city. When you get in, you say, thank you for letting me into the city in peace. Like just getting in itself is something.
Danger.
Apparently it's not so easy to get in. It's not straightforward that you're going to get in. As you know, if you want to go to Iatikali, they don't let you in. Right, so you have to pray before you get in, right? And then once they let you in, Baruch Hashem, they let me in. And now I actually go and daven. And then when I go and daven, I leave. Say thank you, right? So let's see what he says on the way out. Bikesh that set when you want to go out, before you leave. Yehi ratzon lefanecha Hashem l'mokai. May it be your will, Hashem, my God. Oh, ve'elokei amotai. And he extends it. And the God of my fathers. That's an extra bit here. I don't know why. That you will let me leave, or you bring me out of the city in peace. Yatsa Omer, when he leave, after he left, he says, doesn't say I'm clear with I this bit. Thank you, Hashem. Shehotsi tani mikrach zeh l'shalom, that you brought me out in peace. And then he adds on, ukushem shehotsi tani l'shalom, and just like you brought me out in peace. Kach tolicheni l'shalom, so you should lead me in peace. V'tismacheni l'shalom, and support me in peace. V'tatzideni l'shalom, and emplace my footsteps in peace. V'tatzileni nachon, v'kach kol oyev v'oyev v'der, and save me from the hand of all problems and enemies on the way. Right? Tefillat aderech after you leave the city. So. Those are the prayers. So how does that connect with our sugya about fear? So we're learning about fear, nachon, when it's appropriate to be afraid and when it's not appropriate to be afraid. So here, before you're entering into the city, you're praying that everything should be going fine. You might have thought, Emunah, don't need to pray. Who needs to pray? Hashem's with me. Praying is for people who don't have Emunah. I've got Emunah. That's apparently not. We do pray. We pray that everything's going to be good. Everything will be fine.
You can never believe me now when you pray.
Okay. So that's what we're learning. Because otherwise, how am I meant to know that? Right, what Hillel said, no, I don't need to pray. Hillel was fine after the event. He didn't pray a tefillat shav because he didn't need to. Once something's happened, there's no point praying. Right. So it's not. So you can't learn from Hillel. Who needs to pray? Just be trusted Hashem and everything's yofi. Well, so we're learning things for the future. Entering the city, and then to thank.
I was sitting yesterday in this talk that people, father, parents, were to children, one is good and one is troublesome. That you have a munada, that the one who's good, Hashem is doing everything for him, so he prays only for the son who's having problems.
When things are going well,
we
don't crown it. It happens with us. For example, if your Torah learning is going well, you've got a good class and a good teacher, and you're doing fine. Yeah, everything's what I understand. Who needs to pray on that? Right, it's going. Yofi, we're flying. Great, everything's good. Who's praying? Right, so only when I'm struggling, I'm praying. It's not the right attitude. Right, I need to.
If you have to pray every time when you're in the yom.
I enter in peace and leave in peace. And to thank on the way out.
Maybe you say hello.
Who knows what could happen?
Maybe you
want
to say hello.
I mean, I don't know about anyone else.
But
you never entered into your home and it wasn't so amazing an experience as you thought it was going
to
be.
First, you have to keep your children away. Run to your wife.
Out the way. Tom, so
why you come so late?
Truth is, all the principles, everything that Rav Arish from Nathan's, it's all in here. Everything.
So means
just pulled out, just sourced out, right? Because the person who reads properly and learns properly is going to learn all that anyway. Right, when Rishua Cohen doesn't need to read Gan Emunah because he had it on the page. He understood it.
So it means it's where they don't let me not in your CV.
What?
I have to pray for this. Hashem, please let me come in your
And then once
place.
You get in,
so
you have to thank
you for this.
Yeah, you want
you
to.
Learn
from it.
Okay.
It's good.
So for everything you have to pray.
And to thank afterwards. Well, it's the Tudor. Yeah, yeah. Both the opinions are you need to thank on the way out.
It could do the two.
After you get
to that, you have to relate to pray to Hashem. After this is something.
Thank you. Okay. Also, Tom, obviously these prayer, he's talking about entering the city, but that's just a, it's not only if you enter a city. Well, I'm not entering a city today, so I'm not going to bother praying. Right, it's teaching as a rule. Only entering cities I pray, and I don't bother praying any other time I'm doing anything. in the time of the Gemara, how many people will that apply to? Right, so we're talking about a rule that we're learning out from entering a city, but for everything that we say on everything else. To be like there. Yeah, on the way out. Okay. Amar Rav Matna. Rav Matna taught the following. Or he said the following. Lo Shanu. They didn't teach this. Which bit of it we'll see in a minute. They didn't teach this. Ella Bikrach She'ein Danin V'Horgin Bo. Ah. So he's saying differently now. He's saying what we learned is not a general rule. Rav Matna says the rule about praying when you enter a city is a specific type of city. Some cities you don't need to pray when you enter into them. You're safe, right? If you're coming into, I don't know,
Tel Aviv,
you have to pray. Right? You've got to do 6 hours before you go in, and 6 hours when you get there, and then 6 hours before you leave, and hopefully you won't have time to actually go anywhere, do anything, or see anything. But entering the holy city of Jerusalem, who did that? So, well, what's it based on? So he says. According to Rav Matna, they taught that you only need to pray where? In a krach she'ein danin v'horgin bo. In a place where they don't judge you and they kill you. Meaning, they don't give you a trial. You did something wrong, kill him.
Here's the truth.
Right? They're pretty much, what's that called? Zero tolerance, what's it called? Anyway, whatever it is. They had zero tolerance, and they don't even bother with the trial. They go straight to execution. So for that, you should pray that everything goes well, because you don't want to get caught up in a problem over there. Aval b'prasha danin v'har gimbal, but in a city where they do judge you and then they kill you, late lamba. You don't need to worry. You don't need to do this. Late lamba means there's nothing in it. You don't need to pray. So I would say that this is more of a masha, is a deeper thing. Because for a start, entering in and leaving the city is quite specific. And having specific cities that judge you and without and kill you and don't judge you and don't, I don't know. It seems very very specific for the Gemara to be going
attack. It was physical, today it's spiritual.
Okay, yes, fair.
They kill you spiritually.
They kill you spiritually without even nachon. If you go to Tel Aviv, you're gonna get killed spiritually without even a trial. Like you get no chance. You're just walking down the road and it's in your face and you're dead. Right? You've lost. Right, without even a chance. But if you go to another city where all that stuff is kept away in a specific corner, then you have a kilu, you've got a trial first. Am I going to go? Am I not going to go? I've got a free choice. Right? And then if I choose, done.
Yeah, but then you have Damascus, you have Baghdad, you have Kabul, you have New York, you have L.A.
Yep.
In which, bombs go off everywhere.
Where are you looking?
But we just read. I understood the opposite of what you said.
In can be, but in is not, is only then by itself as a noun. In, yes. It's not share aimed, but it's, then it's aimed.
How is it? Let's say I go now to Germany. I keep a
special.
Okay. So Hashem, when I pray, he helped me. But I need a reason to go now. Let's say I go for holiday.
Yeah.
I have no reason. So I have not to go off on the Israel.
Okay, but I should still pray. I still need to pray. Yeah. Even if I'm doing something wrong. Hashem, I shouldn't be here, and I know this is not good for me, but please help me get out of here in one piece. Yofi, still good. Because also, you're admitting as well that I know I should be here. That's also good. And to ask him that I don't have to come back here, Chen, please don't make me come back here. Okay, so we've got an Ikad Amrei. We know what Ikad Amreis are now. An alternative version. There are those that say Ikad Amrei, Amar Rav Matna. Another version of what Rav Matna said. So he said, he heard the brighter that we just said, that you pray this way and that way, pray this, pray that. And then he said, after that brighter, he said, Afilu Bakrach Shedanin Mahogim Bo, even in a city where they judge you and then they kill you, even in that case, you should make the prayer. Why? Zimnim, sometimes, Dola Mitramele Inish, the Yalif Le Zuchuta. Sometimes he will not find a person who can argue his innocence. So even, so we're staying with this mashal, I think it's a mashal, of them, whether or not they give you a trial before they kill you. So even if they do give you a trial before they kill you, so you could say you don't need to pray. But he says, no, you even need to pray where you get a trial first. Why? Because you might not find someone to support you and make you innocent. Ashkophically, therefore, I guess we need to be talking about sinning, right? That you did something that they're going to kill you for. I guess sounds to me like a sin that they're going to kill you for. You did something wrong that they're going to kill you for. So I need to pray that I don't sin, especially in a place where I'm going to get judgment executed against me without being able to do teshuva for it. And even in a place where I can do teshuva, I should still pray beforehand. Why? Because I might not be able to get merit of being made innocent even after my teshuva. I might not be able to fulfill that process. I might not stand up in the trial.
quite a bit.
Something of that nature. Now, next incident, and it's a bit more amusing. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught a brighter. Hanichnas lebeit hamerchatz, person who goes to the mikvah in the morning. You're lucky, you're going to be very lucky guys. You have a much better mikvah than they did in the old days. Person who enters them goes to the bathhouse in the morning. Right? What does he say? You have to make a prayer before you go. Why? We're going to see why. It's not just them, like a person who goes shopping in the morning should make a prayer before you go. You should, like Hasid, if you're a Chassid, you will make a prayer before. What?
I ask Hashem that I'm alone in the mikvah.
Uh-huh.
Always I'm alone.
Okay. Right. So here we're not learning. Although it's a midat.
When the mikvah is full, I go only kotel. When it's empty, I go mar.
So we're learning here that although it's a midat chasidut to pray before everything. Here in the Gemara, we're only learning that you pray when there's a need, like from the previous sugya, only if there's a danger that you actually pray. And otherwise you would. So here, when you go to the bathhouse, we have to find, see what the danger is, because otherwise you don't pray when you go to the bathhouse normally. Right? I mean, you can, but you don't have to. The Gemara's not going to tell you have to do it. So here, why do you do it? So, Omer, what is it? Nechnat lebeit merchatz on there. The one who enters the bathhouse, the mikvah says, may it be your will, Hashem, that you save me from this and from things like this. Save me from what? What's the danger? And it's not germs. That he's asking to be saved from.
You know,
we're going to see now what the danger is.
You know what's the danger too?
What?
You see naked men?
Naked men, that's also a danger. Spiritual danger of seeing naked men. Shouldn't see even men. But that's not what he's saying. So he's saying here, Rabbi Devad, may it be that no bad thing happens to me. No bad thing or sin happens to me. But if anything bad does happen, may my death be a kapara l'kol avonotai. May my death be a kapara. But right, they're very worried to go to the mikvah. Why? So we're going to see in the next incident what the danger of the mikvah is. But I'll tell you now, because he's going to actually say what happens. What happens is that the floor can give way. The floor can fall. Why?
Yeah.
Because they built the bathhouse over a big pit. Because the water would go into the so what happened, I think, is the water from the people getting washed and changed will go through the slats, because they didn't have a drainage system or whatever, and it would fall through the water through the slats in the floor into the ground. So there was a danger that the floor could collapse and then the people would fall. So that's why when you went to we got it very nicely, that tiled nice concrete floor, right? No worries. Someone
recently, 2 weeks ago, fell in the mikvah.
Right?
Yeah. He fell, he slipped in the water, and ended up going into the mikvah on the stairs.
If you're gonna die, that's a pure way to. I don't know. It's a good way to. Tov, it's a lot worse. Tov, Amar Abai, but Abai says. Tov, Abai says time is up. Let's see what Abai says tomorrow about this. It's not the best. Abai argues with that prayer, says that's not a good prayer.
When was this snow?
Huh?
When this year was the snow. Yeah. It was for 3 or 4 days there was no electricity.
Yeah.
No liquid.
Uh-huh.
So one day it was in the night now, it was very early in the morning, it was everything was dark, it was right. No light. And I don't know if there's no electricity. Abai came to it, it was light and lighter.
It's small, it was only
for. It's only half minute. So I go first, take the light when I go up in the water, and then I go out.
We had it last week. Last week there was a power cut in the morning, and there was no electricity in the mikvah. So, but the guys who were in there, they got all that on their phones. So we just had one phone here, I don't bring my phone to the mikveh. But everybody who's got one of these dump phones, they keep it with them, like 24 if you're in the mikveh. It doesn't matter where you're going, you've got to have your phone with you. Right? So we have phone lights. Baruch Hashem, they had some use. Some holy use.
Was not warm.
Yeah, that's